I take the promised Holy Ghost, the blessed power of Pentecost, to fill me to the uttermost. I take, thank God, He undertakes for me. And the people of God said, Amen. Be seated, please. Turn in your Bible to the 22nd chapter of Numbers. And I want to read to you from verse 22 to verse 28. Verse 22 of Numbers chapter 22. And God's anger was kindled because he went. And the angel of the Lord stood in the way for an adversary against him. Now he was riding upon his ass, and his two servants were with him. And the ass saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way, and his sword drawn in his hand. And the ass turned aside out of the way and went into the field. And Balaam smote the ass to turn her into the way. But the angel of the Lord stood in a path of the vineyards, a wall being on this side and a wall on that side. And when the ass saw the angel of the Lord, she thrust herself into the wall and crushed Balaam's foot against the wall. And he smote her again. And the angel of the Lord went further and stood in a narrow place where there was no way to turn either to the right hand or to the left. And when the ass saw the angel of the Lord, she fell down under Balaam, and Balaam's anger was kindled, and he smote the ass with a staff. And the Lord opened the mouth of the ass, and she said unto Balaam, What have I done unto thee, that thou hast smitten me these three times? What a wonderful book is the Bible. Many long years ago, as a little boy, I was read this story of Balaam and how the female ass, which, by the way, didn't speak in a female voice, but with a man's voice, forbade the madness of the prophet. You say, how do you know that this female ass spoke in the with the voice of a man? Because I've read the Bible. And in 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 15 and 16, we read, Of those which have forsaken the right way and are gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness, but was rebuked for his iniquity, the dumb ass speaking with man's voice forbade the madness of the prophet. After 40 years wandering in the wilderness, Israel started to make quick progress towards the promised land. The time of sojourning was over. The time of occupying the promised land had come. This happened after the lifting up of the brazen serpent. Instantly after that miraculous happening, the progress of Israel proceedeth with unstoppable speed. It mattered not how rough was the road. It mattered not how difficulty there was with many foes. Their march to the promised land was unstoppable. There was no more complaining after that miraculous intervention. When the sojourn of 40 years was thus coming to an end, Israel was encouraged to use their own resources to buy water and bread from the Edomites. Notice, please, the first song of Israel after the triumph of the Exodus was over the digging of a well by which God was to give them water. Now this section, chapter in Numbers, chapter 22, verses 2 to 24, is very important indeed. To us as believers, Balaam is a study written beforehand for our edification and instruction. To the Jews, Balaam was their greatest enemy. He was a great foe allied to the forces of darkness. As a sorcerer, his satanic spiritual power was smashed, his craft broken, and he was turned back to perish in hell itself. In Micah chapter 6 and verse 5, the old prophet wrote, O my people, remember now what Balak king of Moab consulted, and what Balaam the son of Beor answered him from Shittim unto Gilgal, that he may know, that ye may know the righteousness of the Lord. In Joshua chapter 13 and 22, we read Balaam also, the son of Beor, the soothsayer, did the children of Israel slay with the sword among them that were slain by the sword. In Joshua 24:10, we read, but I would not hearken unto Balaam, therefore he blessed you still. So I delivered you out of his hand. Thus speaks God himself. When we come to the New Testament, there are three references to Balaam. And the last one is in Revelation chapter 2 and verse 14. When the Lord says to his church, I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed unto idols, and to commit fornication. The compromise in Balaam between pure religion and superstitious imposter, between a divine inspiration and pagan madness, between pure devotion and the worship of money, was something which struck both nations dumb. Blinded by such notorious hypocrisy, deluded souls ran even faster to the blackness of darkness, forever deceived and being deceived. The history of Balaam is one of the most intriguing and instructive in the whole Bible in its exposure of the attempt to align heaven with hell, to align light with darkness, and to align the truth with the lie. Note, the dirty water of deceit cannot be mixed with the oil of purity. There can be no marriage of any kind between the two. There is no fellowship between light and darkness. Balaam's father, who was he? He was a man called Beor. He was the king of Edom. He was of the offspring of Esau. See Genesis chapter 36, 31 and 32. Balaam settled in Bethor, beyond the river Euphrates in Mesopotamia. You'll find that in Numbers chapter 22, verses 5 and 23, and Deuteronomy 23, 4 and 5. Balaam's reputation was outstanding. Whom he cursed, they were cursed. And that was why this strong appeal was made to Balaam from Balak, king of Moab. Note the mix-up of the families. Moab was the seed of Lot. Lot was Abraham's nephew. Balaam was from the tribe of Esau. What an unclean mixture is here. Who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? Not one. Now the eye of Balaam in all his prophetic work of cursing was in the money rewards that he sought to obtain. Hence his scheming with Balak, when God Almighty himself had told him not to go to the murderous Balak or obey him in any way. Note carefully the definition of his motivation found in the New Testament and recorded in the unbreakable word of the Holy Spirit. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 15. Which have forsaken the right way and are gone astray, following the way of Balaam the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. Jude 1 and 11, woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain, and ran greedily in the error of Balaam for reward, and perished in the gainsaying of Kor. But I have a few things against you, because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed unto idols, and to commit fornication. There's a lesson to be learned. Looking at the desolation with which Israel trampled out the Amorites, Balak, the king of Moab, took fright as he looked to Balaam to help to save his throne and his kingdom. And so he decided he would buy Balaam and pay him to curse the children of Israel and so retain his own kingdom. As Israel had conquered the Amorites and destroyed them and their cities, so said Balak, it is in the interest of all the nations that are anti-Israel to destroy the Israelites. This matter was pressed by Balak for immediate concentration and action. Thus the plan of Balak was to visit punishment and defeat on Israel. Barak was afraid of Israel because of their skill and because of their numbers. Therefore it must be war to the death against the children of Israel, and the fiercest war that Moab could possibly wage. But it was not so easy to achieve victory over Israel. The mighty King Og was destroyed by Joshua. And Balak knew that on the battlefield he too would fall before the mighty armies led by young Joshua. The conduct of Balak in sending for Balaam, who at that time was hundreds of miles away beside the river Euphrates, showed the fear which had been energized in Balak's mind. This was to be a fight to the finish. The ill nature of the sorcerer of hell, Balaam, was evidently well known. Only large sums of money could buy his intervention because of his demon character of successfully cursing people. Every man like Balaam has his own price. Balaam, we read in the scriptures, loved the wages of unrighteousness. Micah was right when he stated, the priests teach for hire, and the prophets thereof divine for money. Micah 3:11. Simon Magus knew well, when he offered money to St. Peter, that all false priests love filthy lucre. 1 Timothy 3:3. God's blessing, we should remember, cannot be bought. It is without money, and it is without price. You cannot consult with God with a bribe in your hand. God had something to say to Balak and something to say to Balaam. Israel was God's chosen people, and God would not permit any of his elect to be destroyed by such a man. The actions, the deceit, the wickedness of Balaam is faithfully exposed by special divine intervention. Balaam proposed to do evil, and energized by a deep love of filthy lucre and money, he was determined to please King Balak and pocket the ill-gotten gains of deceit and rebellion against God's eternal truth. So Balaam commences his journey down the road. It was the road of deceit and murder. God, however, stopped him in his tracks. Numbers chapter 22:22-35. And God's anger was kindled because he went. And the angel of the Lord stood in the way for an adversary against him. Now he was riding upon his ass, and his two servants were with him. And the ass saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way. The only eye that detected the mystery, the only eye that saw the angel of God, was the eye of the ass. Balaam didn't see it. His two servants didn't see it. But it says the ass saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way, and he saw his sword was drawn in his hand. And the ass turned aside out of the way and went into the field. And Balaam smote the ass to turn her into the way. But the angel stood in a path of the vineyards of all being on this side and a wall being on that side. And when the eye saw the angel of the Lord, she thrust herself in unto the wall and crushed Balaam's foot against the wall, and he smote her again. And all that time, he never saw the angel or the drawn sword. And the angel of the Lord went further and stood in an narrow place where there was no way to turn either to the right hand or to the left. And when the ass saw the angel of the Lord, she fell down under Balaam. And Balaam's anger was kindled, and he smote the ass with a staff. The Lord opened the mouth of the ass, and she said unto Balaam, "What have I done unto thee that thou hast smitten me these three times?" And Balaam said unto the ass, "Because thou hast mocked me, I would there were a sword in mine hand, for now would I kill thee." And the ass said unto Balaam, "Am not I thine ass, upon which thou hast ridden ever since I was thine unto this day? Was I ever wont to do unto thee?" And he said, "Nay." Then the Lord opened the eyes of Balaam, and he saw the angel standing in the way, the angel of the Lord. He saw his sword drawn in his hand. He bowed down his head and fell flat on his face. And the angel of the Lord said unto him, "Wherefore hast thou smitten thine ass these three times? Unless she had turned from me, surely now also I had slain thee and saved her alive. Balaam, you shouldn't be living. You should be dead." And Balaam said unto the angel of the Lord, "I have sinned, for I knew not that thou stoodest in the way against me. Now therefore, if it displease thee, I will get me back again." The angel of the Lord said unto Balaam, "Go with the men, but only the word that I shall speak unto thee, that shalt thou speak." So Balaam went with the princes of Balak. Balaam, fool that he was, determined to fight with God Almighty. God purposed that Israel would be delivered, but Balaam and Balak would both be destroyed. Notice how patient God is, even in the punishment of a lying, murderous apostate. God is never quick to mark iniquity. If he were, not one of us would stand. God set about to teach the apostate prophet a very necessary lesson. With his mind and heart filled to the full, with the great expectation he had of future riches, wealth, power, fame, and glory, Balaam hastened down the road of blatant disobedience. Balaam seemed already in the seat of glory and in a place of tremendous power. But there was a blockage on the road Balaam was not taking. The blockage was none other than reared by the anger of God and kindled against Balaam. It consisted of an angel of the Lord with his sword drawn. The wise ass saw the angel of the Lord. The wise ass saw his drawn sword. But the fool of the prophet, he saw nothing. The ass turned aside into the field to escape death. But blind Balaam smote his ass because he saved them from the death of that drawn sword. What a fool he was. He could not see for himself because of his own sinful blindness. Balaam came then to the way of the vineyards, and the path of the vineyards with a wall on both sides of the road. To avoid the killing angel, the ass was wise enough to thrust herself against the wall, crushing Balaam's foot in the action. The enraged and mad prophet again struck the innocent animal. Then came the third and last encounter. Notice that nothing flattened out the unflattened Balaam than a face-to-face encounter with the Holy God. And when he saw the angel of the Lord, when he saw the sword in the angel of the Lord's hands, he saw his own perverseness. And God commended the female ass with the voice of a man. Balaam in his darkness would not attend to the warnings of the invisible God. The invisible angel had to manifest himself, and when that angel burst the bonds of his own invisibility, Balaam for the first time beheld him. How did God summons Balaam to the bar of eternal justice? By taking as his wont in such circumstances of the weak things of the world to confound the mighty. God opened the prophet's ass's mouth. Ridiculous, critics say. Such men always deny the supernatural. The ludicrous as well as the ridiculous. The Reverend David Young, commenting on this portion of Scripture, said, "Except this statement that the ass spoke, and all the previous narrative leads beautifully up to that. Deny the statement, and the chief virtue of the narrative is lost." Let us not fail to notice this instance of the lower creation recognizing God's messenger. The question, of course, suggests itself, who was this angel? Was he one of the unnamed host? Or was he the Son of God himself in his old covenant guise? If the latter, then, he who, while in human flesh, signified his will to the stormy sea, might well signify his warning presence to an ass. Not that the ass knew the angel as a human being could, but even as the lower creation is sensible in its own way of the presence of man, so the ass might be sensible in his own way to the presence of the Son of God. We argue concerning the lower animals far more from ignorance and carelessly accept the tradition than from real and discerning knowledge. We know positively nothing as to what sort of consciousness underlies the phenomena of the existence of the animals. We know wherein they are not like us, but what they are in themselves we cannot know. Every Balaam has his donkey. Every man who has the spirit and conduct of Balaam in him will expect to be pulled up at last in like manner. What God made the ass to his master, that God makes their consciences to many. For a long time, that ass had been of ordinary and common accepted use. Balaam had ridden on it every time he wanted to ride on it. For a long time he rejoiced in his ass as a faithful and trustworthy ass. And thus many find their consciences as little troublesome, as constantly agreeable as the ass was to Balaam. Some sort of conscience they must have, and that sort of conscience will either be agreeable or disagreeable to them, as Balaam's was. They find that such a conscience useful in its way, just as Balaam found his ass when he was out on soothsaying business. But even as the ass sees the angel, so conscience begins to waken up to nobler uses. One gets out of the little world of mere give and take, business customs and local habits. Something suggests we're on the wrong road, pulls us up for a moment, tries to turn us aside. We rebel against God. We fight against circumstances. We go on a little further, God speaks again and stops us. We go on still further in our stubborn resistance of God's message. Oh, blessed is that man. Blessed is the man who heeds the breaks of God as he slams them upon his life and his conduct. And as the breaks were slammed upon Balaam, there was no stopping Balaam. He chose consciously to rebel. He chose consciously to resist God's words to him. And what happened? Balaam lost his soul. We read that he went back home, but it wasn't back home for long till he came back again. Back to Balak. And he told Balak there's only one way to deal with Israel, and that is to make them become sinful. I will introduce to them the fornication of paganism. I will corrupt the tents of Israel. I will take away their purity and the cleanness of their walk. I will make them filthy in God's sight. And they will take the road to hell. And the scriptures that I have read to you tonight proves the fact that God had somewhat against this man, for he turned the clean people of Israel into vileness and fornication and rebellion. And then the Holy Spirit writes his own obituary notice on Balaam. You'll find it in Joshua 13:33. Balaam also, the son of Beor, the soothsayer, did the children of Israel slay with the sword among them that were slain by them. And wallowing in his own blood, God called Balaam to the final judgment seat. And in this word of God, we find that Balaam is condemned to the place of damnation forever and forevermore. Be sure your sin will find you out, and be sure your sin will be found out. Such is the sad story of a man that had some knowledge of God, but turned his knowledge into ignorance and rebellion and hatred of the purity of God's word. How do you stand tonight? Do you stand rebelling against God, or do you stand obedient to his will and to his word? In obedience, there is salvation and peace. In disobedience, there is wrath and there is hell forevermore. Be in time. While the voice of Jesus calls you, be in time. If in sin you longer wait, you will find no open gate, and your cry will be too late. Be in time. Let's bow our heads in prayer. O God, our Father, we commit us to Thee and to Thy Word, and we pray that no one tonight will be a fool like Balaam and go down into the darkness of the dam. But may they be like Israel. May they seek the Lord while He may be found. May they call upon Him while He is near. Bless us as we go for our second rally, and may it be a time of blessing and a time of salvation for us all. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, rest, remain, and abide with us all, now and forevermore. And the people of God said, Amen.